Welcome to Super Tarti's Parshas V'Yechi. We will start this week with three stories about the Koach of Tefillah. And we'll start with Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach. Obviously, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach was an extraordinary individual. And when he was very, very young, he grew up in abject poverty. And the abject poverty was so significant that the parents had to take out loans in order to just make ends meet. And they wanted to make sure that their children would go into learning and to succeed in their learning, and everything was a great stretch for them. Unfortunately, at a certain point in time, the lenders on their loans realized that they were in default and eventually came to look for additional collateral, looking for a mashkon to take from the house. And they eventually approached the house and came to the parents and said, "Listen, guys, we need to start taking your valuables." So they came. The mother quickly ran. She didn't care. Rav Shlomo Zalman remembers she came with all of her valuable kelim, a kiddush cup, all that stuff, no problem. The silver, no problem. The jewelry, no problem. But all of a sudden, they came and they asked for the svarim. They said, "Let's take the svarim." And these svarim, Rav Shlomo Zalman's father used them to learn with the children, and that became an issue because at that point in time, the mother objected. She broke out in tears, and in front of the children, they saw the whole thing with inability to help her. The mother davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from the depths of her heart, and she said, "Ribono Shel Olam, I am ready to part with anything in this house, but I can't, I can part with all of the things, these beautiful things that I've lived with my entire life, but the svarim that my husband learns and tries to teach my children Torah, I cannot part with those under any circumstances." And she cried and she cried to Kadosh Baruch Hu to help her. And those tears that came from the bottom of her heart, the children saw those tears and realized how much the mother cared about the learning that the children had. And of course, it inspired the children to continue to become who they become. So next is a story about the Chafetz Chaim, a not terribly dissimilar story, but obviously once the Chafetz Chaim became known as the great Talmud Chochem and the Gadol Ador and Tzaddik that he became, questions were asked to his mother, saying, "Well, what is the deal? How did you become Zocha to have your child to become the Gadol Ador?" And she was pretty dismissive of it. She didn't really seem to think that it really had very much to do with her at all. The truth is, once people pushed her a little bit, you know, could there have been something you did or anything like that? She said, I don't really know. I don't remember. But I'll tell you one thing. If there's anything little I can tell you, is that the day I was married, my mother came up to me. And she said to me a few moments before the chuppah, she said, "My dear, listen to what I'm saying. We are commanded to raise our children to Torah Yir Shamayim. Therefore, I'm going to make a request from you. Just one thing. Any moment, any free moment that you have, take this sitter that I'm giving you and daven to Kadosh Baruch Hu that you should have the zechus to raise your children to Torah and Yerushamayim. And do not forget to cry when you daven." And at the end of this, they gave her a sitter and a tehillim. She gave her a sitter and a tehillim. And that's what the Chafetz Chaim's mother said I did. That's all I did. Every time I finished my work at home, any time I had a free moment, if I put up some potatoes on the fire and I had a few minutes to wait for them to finish cooking, I took the sitter that I took from my mother and I cried real tears straight to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I poured out my heart and poured out my eyes that I should have the zechus to raise my children to be Talmidei Chachamim and Yorei Shamayim. And Obviously, this again points to the extraordinary power of the impression that a mother can make upon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One last story is a story about Rav Shimshon Pinchas, who heard about a particular Avrich, a Koloman, who unfortunately did not yet have children and was trying his very best to have children, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu seemed to not fulfill his wish. Eventually, Rabbi Pinchas got over to the man and took him on a mission. And he didn't tell him where he was going. He didn't tell him what he was doing. Just took him off the road. They went driving. Took him off the road to a secluded area, to a place where nobody was. And then he finally started talking. And he said to the Avrich, "You want children?" And the Avrich said, "Certainly, of course I want children." He said, "Okay, so if you care, go over here into this private area and daven to Kodesh Baruch Hu that you want a child, and I'll come back in half an hour to get you." So half an hour passed, and Rav Pinchas goes back to the place, and he finds the Avrich sitting there waiting for Rav Pinchas. And the Rav looked in his face and said, "Excuse me, my dear, you didn't daven a true davening. This was not the way that we daven for children. I'm going to give you more time, and you're this time really show. Daven, do tchinas, scream, whatever it takes from the depth of your heart, and I'll come back in a bit." So the words of Rav Pinchas really affected him, and he paid attention. And in this instance, he really did everything, and Rav Pinchas came back, and the man was completely exhausted, physically trying to hold on to things. He was trying to cover up the fact that he had cried gallons of tears. He was obviously, you know, almost shaking from the experience. And at the end of all of this, he was answered in his tefillos, because it was a very, very sincere tefillah, you could see from the second time. So perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it a little bit extra credence and just shows us that, you know, it's okay to put yourself out there when it's something that's so extraordinarily important. As dovetail to all of this, we see from this week's Parsha, moving to Divrei Torah, "Ani lakachti lecha, ani nasati lecha shichem achad alachacha, asher lakachti miyad ha'amuri b'charvi kashti." So the cherev and the keshes, the cherev is the sword, the keshes is the bow. So Rashi says, "B'charvi v'kashti, hi chochma si usfila." See, this is my chochma and tefila. So Rashi says chochma. Where does the cherev become a chochma? This is not in the Gemara. It's not in the Midrash. So what is it trying to teach us? So Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer says brilliantly that you need to understand that you need a chochma, a specific sort of wisdom to know what to daven for, and not like not like somebody who is a prince that has been thrown out of the castle of his father, and when you want, you come back. But rather, you need to be thoughtful about how we're going to daven, what we're going to daven. We need to feel the right level of balance of awe and everything else. On that very same pasuk, the Dvar Torah that one of my children belovedly reminds me every time we get to Parshas V'yechi, we get to the same thing, is that we see by the story of Shechem and Hamor and Dina that they take Shechem and Hamor, and Shimon and Levi go back and they perpetrate their plan a couple of parshios ago, and Yaakov Avinu is extraordinarily concerned about a large war ensuing, and there Yaakov Avinu gives the business to Shimon and Levi and says, "You're going to get us into a war," and they respond. They say, "What's going to be? You know, like, we can't let our sister be treated like that," and it ends unresolved. Later, Yaakov Avinu even gives them the business when he gives them a bracha. But here we also see the fact when it says, "Asher lakachti miyad ha'amori b'char v'kashti," he says, Rashi in his second lashon says, "B'char v'kashti," you know what that means? Is there was a war. Yaakov Avinu was right, but he didn't say, sit on his hands and say, "I got you, I told you so." he went out to war with the rest of the brothers and fought because, I'm putting this in there, he had a meter called loyalty. One of the things we're holding in 2025, loyalty is not, as they say, a thing anymore. And specifically with respect to family, with respect to Klal Yisrael, with respect to our community, we need to really be able to plug into the idea of loyalty, is that we are first Ki'ish Echad, and then we can work on Belev Echad. And we need to remember who is our team and how to stick with them. Next, a beautiful Vilna Gaon in his Bira Gra on Shulchan Aruch, right in Siman Aleph of Orach Chaim, a beautiful piece. In the bracha Yaakov Avinu gives to Yosef, he says, Ha'elokim asher hishalchu avosai lefanov. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu, our avos, put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of them, as it were, hishalchu. God whose ways my fathers, they walked in it, or they put HaKadosh Baruch Hu in front of them. This is when the Shulchan Aruch starts with Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samid, put a Kodesh Baruch Hu right in front of you, says that this is a remez about the Avos. The Avos always put a Kodesh Baruch Hu first. That was the idea, and it's really a true and wonderful idea that we always have a Kodesh Baruch Hu in our minds, and we put his priorities before us and subordinate his priorities. We subordinate our priorities, pardon me, to his. Next, let's move on to a beautiful Shla. The Shla says about the Pasuk when it speaks about Yaakov Avinu, it says, V'yishchazek Yisrael v'yeshev alamita. So it says that he strengthened himself. He sat on the bed. So what is the chizku? So his chizuk and his strength was because of the mita. What is it? Because we want mitaso shlema. He wanted the, it says, mitaso shlema, ashrei misha zochel achzeh, meaning a person whose children and successors really go on the derech. And this is, every person should always daven that they don't find any psul in their children and their children's children and their children's children's children forever and ever, because the greatest thing a person can leave in this world is Bonim Hagunim, the ones who are going in the proper derech. And this is the idea when Yaakov Avinu gives his bracha to the children of Yosef. He says the same sort of bracha as he would to children. He says he wants them to kind of have the same sort of derech as well. So that's the kind of bracha that everybody should be, you know, working on and trying their very best to work towards. Now, one more thing, just from the Nesivos that I saw, where Yaakov Milisa in Nachlas Yaakov tries to explain, there's, you know, the famous Mamar Chazal, it says, Yaakov Avinu lo meis. So I'm going to leave it as a thinking question. He cites that there are four kinds of people, for example, poor people who are considered meisim. We learn that by the story with Eliphaz. So how could that tie into the fact that Yaakov Avinu lo meis? And one more thinking question as well. In the beginning of the Parsha, Rashi says, why is this a Parsha Stuma, meaning to say that there's no pauses in the spacing of the text. Why? Because when Yaakov Avinu passed away, the eyes and hearts of Yisrael were sosum from the tzara of the shibu that began, that started, shehischilu the shabdom, that they had started. But that's very hard. How could Rashi write that? Because right after Yaakov Avinu dies, how could he write that right after Yaakov Avinu dies, the shibud starts? Because this is Soser Rashi in the beginning of Parshas Va'era, where it says, Shekolzman she'echad mina shvatim kayam, anytime any of the shvatim, meaning all of Yaakov's children, were there, lo haya shibud, there wasn't shibud. Why? Because it says, Ve'amas es Yosef ve'kol echav, Yosef and all of his brothers died, and then it writes, Yaakov melech chadosh. So how are we going to be miyashiv that stira? Thank you. Have a wonderful Shabbos.